The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October of 1984.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with the University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have our regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. On his right, from the Department of Psychology, Professor Robert O'Neill.
Tickled pink to be here.
Oh, good. On his right, from the College of Education and Human Services, and from Wayne County Community College, Professor Wallace Peace.
Hi, Mom.
I've stopped giving his entire title. It
takes he also has a peanut butter stand on the corner. Right.
And on Wallace's right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Mary Jo Nichols.
And I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And on Mary Jo's right and my left, from the Department of Political Science, Professor John Klemanski.
Happy to be here, Ed.
Happy to have you here.
Didn't most say that about me, but that's all right.
Get it?
Well, what can we tell you?
Yeah.
Testimonial dinner awaits.
Most of the questions you hear in this program are sent in by our listeners. If you stump the panel, you receive a bumper sticker and an autographed photograph of the panel.
And
both?
Yep. If you fail to stump the panel, but your question is used, you receive a bumper sticker and a photographed autograph of the panel.
Uh-huh. Easy the distinction. Worth.
And if you just send in a question to this program and
gets
used or thrown in the wastebasket or anything, just send in a question, you will get your very own Ask the Professor bumper sticker.
All right. What does the bumper sticker say, Ed?
That's for them to find out.
Oh, the mystery that will be revealed at the picnic to those who don't know.
That's right, to the initiated ones. Okay, and that's the way this show goes. Now, our first set of questions
is from...
He says he has no wastebasket.
Oh,
they're all used.
No, they're all used.
The general manager.
You mean we've been getting the best?
No, he's saying he uses everything.
I see.
Or he doesn't want to admit that he throws any away. I don't know.
We do appreciate quality questions, though.
Indeed.
Please.
Especially those we can answer.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, on our last program, we had just gotten to a set of questions from Teresa Knight of St. Clair Shores, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Teresa.
And we had not gotten to the questions because the bell rang.
So we were doing pretty well.
That's right. We'd answered them all.
We hadn't missed any.
15 out of 22.
Okay. So,
and they kind of, they're jump all over the place.
Yeah, they ramble all over. Okay, yes. That's good.
Authors. Name the authors of the books and or stories listed below, all right? Mm. Who wrote The First 7 Years? The First 7 Years.
Of what?
Life.
The Roman Empire. Seven years?
Is that like the
who
7 year itch?
Who was first 7 years?
No.
Tom Yule.
Is that a developmental
Shirley
or
Temple.
A political?
No, it's a novel. It's a novel.
It's the same woman who
Dick,
did the
Dick
year.
And Jane.
No, it's not a woman.
Is it a man?
It's a man.
Benjamin
I'll
Spock.
Leave it for the rest of you.
Jane of Dick and Jane.
Jane.
And,
English?
No, he's American. American Jewish writer.
Saul Bellow.
Wrote a kind of allegory about the American way of life using baseball as its setting.
Oh, Malamud.
Mm-hmm.
Bernard.
Mm-hmm. Bernard Malamud wrote The Natural.
That's right.
I don't know the first 7 years, though.
Who wrote Did You Ever Dream Lucky?
Is that Did You Ever Dream, Lucky?
No, that's what I... That's
Mrs.
One way of
Luciano.
No, this is Did You Ever Dream Lucky? No comma.
I don't know.
Did you ever dream... This is American, too.
I think so. Sounds Ralph like Ellison.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
No kidding. Yes.
Obscure.
Not books. One I know. He's not obscure, but I don't know that.
No, he said that was one of his obscure books.
Oh.
We have to be professorial.
All right.
Who wrote The Sculptor's Funeral? The Sculptor's Funeral.
We're going to use up our 7 misses
right away.
We're getting to our last 7 years.
The first 7 questions.
Yeah. The last knot on the rope.
The Sculptor's Funeral.
Mm-hmm.
American?
Yes. Female.
Female.
Midwest. A lot of her things are set in the Midwest, in the prairie states.
Willa Cather.
With Willa Cather. That's right. Who wrote... This can't... No, this is misspelled. It's Babbitt.
Oh, that's...
Is that Sinclair Lewis?
Yes. It's not Rabbit.
That's John
Updike. That's
right. That's Updike. That's Updike. Rabbit runs, Rabbit gets rich, mm-hmm. Rabbit comes
Redo.
Back. You know, Rabbit gets promoted. Rabbit loses it all.
Rabbit Moranville.
Yeah.
Rabbit seeks life? Counseling.
Powerhouse. Yeah.
Okay, who wrote Travels with Charlie?
Steinbeck.
That's right.
John.
Who wrote The History of Plymouth Plantation?
Well,
George knows that one.
That was Governor William Bradford.
Yes, it was.
Huey.
Yes, it
I know
was.
It was.
Yes. Who wrote Captain Smith Among the Indians?
Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Close. That's very
Alden.
Close. No.
Her father.
Nope.
Captain Smith.
Among
well,
the
Captain Smith
That's
wrote.
Right.
Oh. Yes.
Captain Smith.
Yes.
Oh.
In his own hand.
Yeah.
Right.
Who wrote A Progress to the Mines in the year 1732?
Is that a novel?
I doubt it. Sounds it's more like a report.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A Progress to the Mines.
It sounds Dickensian.
Well, it isn't.
It's English.
Yes.
And it's some report on...
It's the name, it's the same name of an English composer.
Elgar.
An ornithological composer.
Birdie...
Well...
something.
Sparrow brain.
You almost had it.
Audubon.
You just added one too many syllables.
Oh, William Byrd.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, yeah. William right. Byrd.
Bill Byrd.
B-Y-R-D.
That's right.
Byrd.
This was William Byrd II, whoever he was. But
well...
Obviously, son of William Byrd I. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No,
not
it must have been
not
his grandson.
It could have been his grandson or his nephew.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Depends.
Otherwise, it's Jer.
Who wrote Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God?
I wish
Jonathan Edwards, but I wish I had written that.
Yeah. I do, too.
Especially like to use it on the kids.
Squish.
The spider over the fire. Oh, I just love it. You can smell the flesh burning when we discuss that one.
There's nothing between you and hell but the air.
Yeah, that's right.
The unmerited mercy of the divine.
Right.
You don't deserve it. It could be withdrawn at any moment.
And here it,
goes.
Probably will.
And be nice to me or I'll withdraw it.
Well, you have just terrified the blazes out of our audience. Who wrote The Awful Sweetness of Walking with God?
Mrs. John.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
You're kidding.
Yes.
Really?
That is right.
That's right. Esther Edwards.
Oh,
yes.
My.
That's beautiful.
Right.
Even she must have been shocked by Sinners.
Yeah. Who wrote The Wonders of the Invisible World?
The Wonders
of the Invisible World.
What Timothy period Leary. Are we talking
same
about?
Same period.
The same period?
Uh-huh.
Cotton Mather?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
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 Cotton Mather, William Cather?
Yeah, it's all the same.
Who wrote What is an American? What is an American?
Kate Smith.
What is
an
American?
I don't know.
It's got to be
the author is French. I can tell you that.
Oh.
L'enfant? De Tocqueville?
No.
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 Was he describing traffic? L'enfant?
No.
They go in circles.
1700s?
Lafayette?
Do you know
I
the
don't
time
know.
Period?
I mean, the name means nothing to me.
It means nothing to you. It'll mean nothing to us. Are
Hector
we at our seventh?
Hector Saint-Jean de Crèvecoeur.
That was exactly my next
guess.
Oh,
de Crèvecoeur. Well, he wrote the Letters from an American Farmer,
that's
of
right.
which
that is
What is an American is one.
Okay.
Okay, had you asked the right question, we could have told you. Well, all right.
Well, you see, my
but
ignorance
yes.
combined with faulty question did us in. Who wrote The American Crisis? The American Crisis.
Well, Nixon wrote My Six Crises.
Now, this author was born in Lewes, England, participated in the American Revolution, and ended up in France
right.
during the Revolution.
Right, and he had a lot of common sense.
Yes,
yeah.
he did.
Bob
right.
Hope, yeah.
Right. Thomas
Paine. Yeah.
Yes, yes, very good. Who wrote The Devil and Tom Walker?
I thought it was The Devil and Daniel Webster.
That's
yes.
a different one. This is The
Devil
and Tom Walker.
This was a preliminary bout.
Is this more recent?
No, this would have been early 19th century American author in New York State.
Yeah.
Not what's his name?
Irving.
Yes, yes.
Washington.
And finally, who wrote The Birthmark?
Did you ever hear of it?
The Birthmark. American?
It wasn't a scarlet letter.
Hawthorne.
Yes.
Oh, Ed.
Such broad hits.
You're really quick on that one.
Yeah. Wallace, you've been here a short time, but you pick up on these hints right away.
I tell you.
I missed it myself.
Which makes Wallace just about brilliant.
Well, with that hint, I eliminated Hawthorne. That was the first thing I thought.
Yeah, scratch.
He said it wasn't.
Okay, now we watch it in the author of the following, well, of this play. Who wrote The Oyster and the Pearl? The Oyster and the Pearl.
Steinbeck and...
He wrote The Pearl.
It's an American-Armenian writer. Or an Armenian-American writer. The Oyster and the Pearl. Also wrote The Time of Your Life, I think it was.
Oh, okay. It's Saroyan.
That's right.
Saroyan.
That's right. William.
Bill, yes. Who wrote The Last Flower? It's a parable, it says here. The Last Flower.
The Last? Is this American, too?
Yes, cartoonist and writer associated with The New Yorker.
Yeah, okay.
Thurber?
Yeah, Thurber. Mm.
James.
Who wrote Upon the Burning of Our House? These are all poems now.
Upon the Burning of Our House.
Emily Dickinson.
No. No.
Is it 19th century?
I think so.
Oh, but
male?
You don't know.
No.
Female.
Female.
See, I knew it was a female.
Emily Dickinson?
No.
No, that's
we tried that. It didn't work.
Didn't work? Oh, I didn't.
Anne Bradstreet.
Nope.
Who wrote Upon a Spider.
Did they get much from the insurance?
I don't know.
We'll have to find the boy.
That's really only, the only thing that counts.
Yeah. Upon a Spider Catching a Fly.
Well, that is Emily Dickinson, isn't
no,
it?
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
It is a poem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
19th century.
I suspect. But
it's Bradstreet again.
No, it's not.
No.
It's Edward Taylor. Edward Taylor.
Nope.
Who wrote Hymn of the City?
That should be He of the City.
Yeah. H-I-M.
Hymn of the City.
Well, I guess it was Harvey Cox, wasn't it? It wasn't?
Nope.
Should have been.
His Secular City book?
Well.
Hymn of the City. It must be William Stead.
It's William.
Okay, it's William.
And the last name is the name of a former beauty queen turned evangelist.
Bryant.
Yes.
William.
Yes.
Cullen.
Cullen.
Yes.
Bryant.
Yes. All right.
And I was going to say Jennings, but no, that's right.
Who wrote To Helen. To Helen.
Menelaus.
Wrote To Helen. Deny it.
I can't deny that. Oh, I can't deny that. But.
And then the sequel of To Helen back.
This was an American author who was very popular among the French, or with the French. And
Paris.
No.
To Helen.
American author, very popular with French intellectuals, known for his macabre
Edgar Allan Poe
stories.
Oh,
yes.
He was from Baltimore?
I think he was.
The next line is, right between your eyes. To Helen, right between your eyes.
Well, very good, panel. You actually weren't defeated.
You're kidding.
No, you only missed three.
We missed the first four, Ed.
No, you didn't.
No, we didn't.
Oh. No, you didn't. Yeah. So, Teresa Knight didn't stump the panel, but she'll be receiving her photographed autograph and her bumper sticker.
While we savor our victory.
Yes, and now let's take a little break.
It doesn't.
Are you tired of moving up and down the dial in search of information and entertainment? Is everyday radio fare just not enough for you? Well, congratulations, you've found the right program. Now, send in some questions. You can send your questions with the correct answers, please, to Ask the Professor, 3800 Puritan, Detroit, Michigan, 48238. Now stop changing that dial.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from October of 1984. Matt Mayo and the current panel of professors will return later this summer with more brand new episodes of Ask the Professor. So send your questions today to atp@udmercy.edu.
Okay, we're back, and now we have a set of questions from David Lambert. Actually, it's not a set of questions. It's only one question from David Lambert.
It's a cheap bumper sticker.
Of Holly, Michigan.
It's an essay.
Says, "'Tis I, David Lambert, here again to match wits with the professors. I have but one count-em-up question, pass or fail. The use of writing materials is prohibited."
Mm-mm. Okay.
Okay. You ready?
That's
ready.
One of these things we're going to have to visualize.
Or multiply.
He also sends us a little thing here on how to get Doctor Who prints. I appreciate that. Hmm. That's very nice.
You're a big Doctor Who fan.
$7 each.
For a fingerprint?
No, he's got to be kidding.
You've got them all anyway.
Somebody else. That's true. "Be prepared to answer by the time I finish reading this paragraph without retracing your steps."
Okay.
Okay.
We're not going anywhere anyway.
"A bus started out empty."
Okay.
"At the first stop, it picked up 10 passengers."
Blue. My eyes are blue.
"Stopping again, it let off 5 passengers and picked up 10. At the next stop, 8 passengers got on and 2 got off. When the bus stopped again, it looks like 111 passengers got on." That can't be right.
Sure, it's a big bus.
14 passengers, maybe. This is not going to work, Mr. Lambert, because
yes,
I can't read
yes,
your writing.
Okay, he's going to want to know how many stops it made. Yeah.
Passengers got... how did you know?
And
9
stops.
Got off. One more stop, and 2 passengers got on, and 1 got off. How many stops did the bus make?
I think it was 5.
You're right.
And the bus driver's name was?
I didn't pay any attention to getting on and getting off. I don't, no.
I had 4.
Those numbers are too big anyway.
You're in great shape today, Klemanski.
And I wasn't paying attention to the passengers either.
What were you doing, stock market calculations on the board there?
Well, we thank Mr. Lambert. He'll get his bumper sticker and photographed autograph and send in some more. Okay. Next set of questions comes from Mark Archer of Detroit, Michigan, who says, "Please identify the persons responsible for the following quotes. Score 70 is passing."
Okay.
What's the
out
noise?
Out of what, 100 quotes? Or what?
I don't know. I'll see how many there. No, not
two
not
people got
many.
On a bus.
Yes.
And said the following things. Yeah.
Have a nice day. Yeah.
Never interfere with your enemy when he's in the process of destroying himself.
Certainly true.
Yes. Yeah. But who said that?
Some New York politician.
Nope. It was a French politician.
The Cavour.
The 19th century.
Cavour.
No, early
19th. Oh, he was Italian anyway.
Napoleon.
Napoleon. Yeah. Exactly.
I got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Getaway Wallace. Yeah.
There are 3 kinds of lies. Lies, damned lies, and statistics.
Yeah, but who said it?
Yeah, I know the quote, but I...
That's right. Yeah.
This is 20th century.
No, it could be Twain.
It's Twain, that. And the answer is it's Mark Twain who claimed he was quoting Disraeli, but no one's ever been able to find this in Disraeli's writings.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Well, Disraeli talked a lot, too.
That's right. That's right. To a newspaper man, a human being is an item with skin wrapped around it.
This is by a newspaper man, right?
No, it isn't.
I was going to say American.
It's by an American humorist.
Fred Allen?
Yes. How did you come up with that name?
Why, it just sounds like something you'd hear strolling down Allen's alley.
It's amazing. Poor Mexico, so far from God and so close to the United States.
Henry Clay.
No.
It's
a Mexican political leader.
John Diefenbaker.
Mexican political leader.
Of the late 19th century?
I think so.
Zapata.
No. Not
first
Zapata.
Name, Viva.
No.
Well... Someone like Cardenas? I mean...
It's someone like that.
Is it someone of their revolution?
Maximilian.
No. It's a little after Maximilian.
Mm.
Well, who followed Maximilian?
That's a good question.
Between Maximilian and Lopez Portillo, I don't know.
There's a big gap.
Oh, it's Diaz.
Diaz.
Okay.
Okay.
As long as I count the votes, what are you going to do about it?
Daily.
No.
No. Tammany.
Well, you're getting close with Tammany.
Tweed.
Yes. God made integers. All else is the work of man.
Gauss.
No.
Descartes.
Yeah. No.
Not Descartes.
Pascal.
No.
One of the scientists.
Well, it certainly has the name that should
Earlier?
Be.
Earlier? Archimedes?
No, I've never heard of this
person. Oh, it's a name that should be.
I mean, a name like this, you'd better be a scientist or something.
Joseph Square Root.
Leibniz.
No, it's not. It's not Leibniz either. No.
Hector Natura.
Leopold Kronecker.
Oh,
Kronecker's,
yeah. Leo.
Kronecker's Delta is famous in mathematics.
Okay.
But
okay.
I don't
know.
Yeah. Kronecker's Delta.
When a thought takes one's breath away, a lesson on grammar seems an impertinence.
Miss Manners.
No, very good.
To the point.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, I'll have to give this one to you, because I don't know your... Thomas Wentworth Higginson. Wentworth Higgins.
Well, I know who he is.
But you didn't know
he said that.
No, I didn't know. He was a figure in the Civil War, and in fact, he was the commander of the North's all-black brigade.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book about it, how they behaved under battle conditions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think he went home and became...
Like everyone else.
Either
afraid.
But his theory was, unlike everybody else, with a greater motive to win.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think he went home. He either became the governor of Massachusetts or a senator from it. Or, I mean, into politics.
Uh-huh. Someplace. Yeah. Interesting. Who said, I know no method to secure the repeal of bad or obnoxious laws so effective as their stringent execution?
Oh, yes.
That is a familiar quote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it a president?
It was a president.
Early 1900s?
No.
Earlier than that?
Piaget.
No. Later than
20th
that.
20th century.
No.
Was it the one involved?
Latter half of the 19th century, post-Civil War. I mean, I say post-Civil War because it's soon after the Civil
Grant.
War. That's right.
Grant, yes.
Mm-hmm. He was able to put those words together.
Read that quote again.
That was quite good.
I know no method to secure the repeal of bad or obnoxious laws so effective as their stringent execution.
I want to keep that quote. I think we're going to need that shortly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Books must be read.
It might have been written by Mark Twain. Well, you know, Grant and Mark Twain wrote a book together.
Oh.
Which was Grant's biography.
Which was
autobiography.
Grant's Tome, they call it.
Grant's Tome.
Oh, John Sharp today, isn't he? That funny white powder he sniffs.
It had to come.
Sorry.
Oh,
what was the name
that.
Of the book that they wrote together, by the way?
It was The Life of Grant.
Oh.
Books must be read as deliberately and reservedly as they are written.
Hmm.
Oh, they need much more attention than that.
Is this a famous author?
Well, he is a famous American thinker, and he is certainly known for some essays and one particular book about his idyllic life in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Thoreau.
Yes. It is not all books that are as dull as their readers.
Is it the same?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Public opinion is a weak tyrant compared with our own private opinion. When a man thinks of himself, that is, which determines, or rather indicates, his fate.
What?
Is that Thoreau's friend?
It's not Thoreau's friend.
It's Thoreau himself.
It's Thoreau himself.
Thoreau's enemy.
That's right.
Himself.
This is Thoreau thrice here.
Thoreau was worse than provincial. He was parochial. Who said that?
Oh, almost anyone. I don't know.
A critical
member
friend
of
or?
A member of a family that produced psychologists and
James.
Writers.
James.
Probably James is the elder, Henry James the elder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
History is a nightmare from which I am trying to awake.
Hmm. And Wint.
No. Irish novelist.
Joyce.
Yes.
Jay Jones. Something was a nightmare from which he was trying to awake.
He didn't awake.
No,
he didn't.
One man with courage.
He got the rest of us into his nightmare, which takes some doing.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
Anyone can awake.
One man with courage makes a majority.
Sidney Harris.
How does the sentence end?
I don't know.
Makes a majority do what?
I don't know. One man with courage makes a majority.
La Mancha.
No.
Another politician?
Yes.
American, U.S. president?
U.S. president.
1800s?
Yes.
Late?
No.
Early?
Early, well...
Early to mid.
Yeah.
Mid.
That's right.
And it's not Martin Van Buren?
No.
Is it a famous one?
Oh, yes.
A very famous one.
Abraham?
No, before Abraham.
Jackson?
Yes.
Abraham Jackson?
Andy Jackson.
No.
Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson.
Abraham Jackson.
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, that's
Andrew
right.
Jackson.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
One murder made a villain, millions a hero. One murder.
I've heard that,
made
but
a villain,
I don't know who said
villain,
it.
Millions. Bilby Porteous.
No wonder.
Porteous.
Oh. Okay.
Who was he?
Porteous.
Invented the maze test.
You're either part of the problem, you're either part of the solution or part of the problem.
Bobby Seale.
Nope.
Eldridge Cleaver.
That's right, Eldridge Cleaver. Power is the great aphrodisiac.
That was before he found God, Eldridge Cleaver.
Power is the great aphrodisiac.
John Kennedy.
Lyndon Johnson.
No, it's an American statesman.
Averill
Gene
Harriman.
Kirkpatrick.
No. Let's
well
not
done.
Be absurd.
Well done. Of recent vintage?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Of
yes.
current vintage?
Well, he's kind of unemployed right now.
Yeah.
He's back to where he came from for the time being.
Uh-huh. Walter Mondale.
No.
Agnew.
Kissinger.
No. Kissinger. Yes. Henry Kissinger.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oops.
All right. Well, we'll have to stop at this point and come back to these
Leave
on
it to
our
a
next
political
program.
Scientist to
so
say something
hang
like
in
that.
There, yeah. Mr. Archer. We'll
you
return
know, one of the
next week. I'd like to thank the panel today, though. Professor Pickering, Professor
I forgot
O'Neill.
The microphone was on.
Well, it is. Professor O'Neill, Professor Peace, Professor Nichols, Professor Klemanski, and now this word.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed to the facilities of the E.J. and A.U. Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Paul Murray, assisted by Roger Hino. Our technical director is Jim Muir. Executive producer is Vivian Dixon. Until next time, this is your host, Edwin DeWint.
And I'm Michael Jason, inviting you to join us again next week for another classic edition of Ask the Professor. Thank you.